Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, live in Las Vegas, Nevada. Let's go out to Boston and say hello to Josh Applebaum. Josh, how are you today?
Pritch, I'm doing great. Happy Wednesday. We got a lot to get to. I'm already having withdrawals, Pritch. We got no action tonight, unfortunately, across the major sports. So I'm excited to use today kind of as a homework type day. So we obviously have NFL week 8 coming up. We got college week 9. I'm sure we'll have a discussion about Kevin Cash and pulling Snell. There's a huge debate right now. Analytics, old school versus new school. So I want to get your take on that too, Pritch. But I'm excited to break down these games with you. We got a lot of lines moving in football. So excited to talk to him. And Pritch, did you go to the Circa grand opening? How was it? Did you have some fun? Are you a little banged up today? How are you feeling?
I'm not banged up. I'm a vet, Josh. I know how to handle myself in those situations. So I went down there. First of all, I highly recommend the Circa. That property is outstanding. It is state of the art. You walk around that place, and I was just amazed. And I've seen a lot of hotel openings growing up here in Las Vegas, Josh. And that one, it was spectacular. The event itself was incredible. Just the dignitaries that were there, the celebrities, the feeling of it, the essence of it. It was spectacular. It was off the charts. So that property, when you get to Vegas, go down there. Circa, go visit. And then a sports book too. I want to break that one in. I think I need to break that one in because that thing is incredible too. And then outdoors, a pool. We're looking at it right now. It's incredible, Josh. So definitely a good time. I was in and out, said hello, showed my mask, and then got out of there. So here I am today, ready for this show with you today. And you're right, the baseball game, very interesting. I want to get your take on that too. A bit of news in college football. Later on, by the way, we're going to have Pete Futek from collegefootballnews.com on to help us out with college football. But the bit of news in college football, Wisconsin versus Nebraska game that is canceled because of a COVID outbreak out there with the Wisconsin Badgers. So that's a bit of news that we're certainly going to hit on a little bit later on in the show. But let's get to that baseball game because, you know, the Dodgers prevail. They win the World Series. They're the champs. Title Town is out there in L.A. But a lot of controversy. Well, not controversy, probably just discussion in regards of the decision with Snell.
Yeah, you're totally right, Pritch. So first off, it's good to be an LA fan. First, you have the Lakers. Now you got the Dodgers. First World Series since 1988. So congrats to the Dodgers. Dodgers did cash. They were a pre-series favorite of minus 200. When they were tied 2-2, they were around minus 190. So a lot of people who bet that future were able to cash in that one. But really, you know, Pritch, there's so much to get to with this game here. Number one, this actually was a really sharp line move to the Rays. And we were talking about it on yesterday's show where the Dodgers opened around a minus 140 favorite. They got down around minus 130 when we were on the show yesterday, 3-5. Leading up until game time, you saw a big steam continue to hit the Rays. The Rays got all the way down to around plus 110, plus 113. So that was a sharp move to Tampa Bay. We also did see that under cash and come in pretty well. So remember, that was a total of 8.5. You had heavy betting on the over, but yet we saw that line fall down to 8. It ticked back up at some books to 8.5, but really all liability. And that's the importance of looking at juice and where's the liability, where are the sports books making you pay a higher price. It was really all toward that under, so that under did come through. You had Corey Seager win the MVP. He was plus 750 at the outset. We were talking to Josh Towers last week, Pritch. We identified Seager as one of our favorite bets to win the MVP. I thought maybe Mookie made a shot there when he hit the homer late, and it was kind of neck and neck, but Seager took it home. But Pritch, let me just say, you know, I did carry a, I had a bunch of futures on the Dodgers, but I had a Tampa Bay Rays ticket last night. And let me just get on my soapbox for 1 second here. I'm a big believer in analytics, okay? I am a sports betting analytics-driven value bettor, reading the market, looking at numbers, looking at line moves. Where's the public? Where's the sharp action? I'm a firm believer in analytics. I think over the long run, analytics are the smart way to go. But I think you have to continue to have a little bit of a human element, especially if you're managing a baseball team. On the one hand, you say analytics have treated the Rays very well. They have an extremely low payroll, but yet they get the most out of their players. They got them all the World Series. So on the one hand, you say, you know, do what got you there. Continue to do what got you to that point. But I just think it's indefensible for Kevin Cash, who is one of my favorite managers, and I think one of the best managers in baseball, putting four outfielders out there, just for example. No one else does that. But you got to have some awareness. I mean, I know all the stats are telling you Nick Anderson is great in this spot. Third time through, Snell starts to get, you know, hit a little bit harder, but have some awareness. He had only had 73 pitches. He was throwing the ball great. You even heard the Dodgers afterwards. Mookie Betts said, "Hey, we're so glad Snell got lifted because he could have thrown a complete game shutout. That's how well he was throwing the ball. So again, 9 times out of 10, or maybe 6 times out of 10, that move works, analytics-based move. But just when Michael Lombardi gets mad going for two when he should just kick the extra point, that's how I felt with Cash. You're outsmarting yourself. The guy is dealing. It's not like he was at 120 pitches. He was at 73. I also think he earned the right to get out of a jam. He was pitching so well. Man, on first, he earned the right to try to get out of it. So I'm just bitter, Pritch. Again, I had a race ticket, so maybe that's why I'm a little more mad. But I thought that was indefensible. Let Snell pitch. You're outthinking the game. Analytics are ruining the game in a way, even though I think long term they're actually kind of smart.
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion because I've heard everything on opposite ends of the spectrum. Analytics works, and it does. They do. The Rays would not be in the World Series without analytics, right? Aaron, we were talking about this too. Our producer was talking about how the Dodgers are built in that way, but yet their payroll is substantial. I think you have a payroll like the Rays, which is less than what Gerrit Cole makes in an entire year. Analytics works. It does. It gets you there. But does it win you a championship though? Because when I go over history, when I review my own history in terms of championships, and at no point did we raise the trophy and say, oh, we got to thank those analytics, man. Those analytics helped us to the promised land, and we won this championship. Or a Hall of Famer up on a podium. Oh, I got to thank the analytics for it. Let me dodge that curveball or help me produce an extra slider. You know, you don't have that. You have the human element, right? You have the great performances that we marvel over. And so when you take that out of the game and you negate a team, certainly with Snell pitching the way that he was, that was a performance of the ages in which, you know what, you slide that analytical page to the side. You might have to call the front office too and say, look, I'm managing this game and my gut tells me to leave Snell out there right now. But, you know, they sided with analytics. I don't know if it cost them the World Series or not. I think the Dodgers were the better team. Certainly, but yet that decision right there, everybody's talking about it.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Pritch. You know, I liken it back to, I was texting my dad. We're both watching the games. He called it the anti-Grady Little. If you remember with the Red Sox against right. The Yankees, Grady Little left Pedro in too long and you saw what happened. So, there are both sides to be made from it. You know, I totally agree with you in terms of analytics when you're playing the numbers and really from Moneyball, great movie mm-hmm. with Brad Pitt and talking about Billy Bean and, you know, really Moneyball, you think of the A's, but it's really the Rays. And again, when you have such a low payroll, you have to play the game a certain way in order to get the most out of your players. But I think there comes a time when use your eyes. I think we're not really watching the game the way we should. And it's funny because, you know, I am an analytics based better. Long term, that's gonna be a successful, smart strategy. But we're talking about that one situation there where you got to use your eyes. Snell's throwing the ball great. Nick Anderson had given up runs 6 straight appearances, then 7 straight appearances. So I know he was great in the regular season, but he hadn't been pitching great. Snell, the next, I think, 3 batters were 0 for 6 that he would have faced there, especially against Mookie. So I hear you, Pritch. You know, I think analytics is great. It gets you to where you want to be. But if you really want to win the World Series, you gotta really just, you know, have some gut decisions there. And I think the lack of a move sticking with Snell, again, the Dodgers could have rolled. Maybe they end up scoring anyway. Maybe mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. But I think that's an inexcusable thing to not at least keep Snell in the game, 73 pitches. If he's feeling it, he's dealing. Let him continue. I just think it was a bad move.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Bankroll time here, Josh. World Series odds for 2021. Percentage of your bankroll. Are you willing to go out on a limb with the Dodgers plus 400? Maybe the Yankees plus 600? Braves at plus 800 for next year?
Yeah. So looking at these odds, I mean, it's funny. That's the way, you know, the world we live in with betting. The minute the Dodgers win the World Series, we're already looking at next year. So right. It's just, it's kind of funny that way. But yeah, I'm looking at these numbers here. I mean, I take the approach of, I want to see what happens during the offseason. I think you have a lot of movement. It's been a weird year, obviously, with salaries and, qualifying offers, what kind of trades will be made. I want to see what happens in the offseason before I tie up a little bit of my bankroll. Dodgers, obviously, the favorite here, plus 400. I'm interested to see, Pritch, what will their win total be? You know, 102.5, 103 games, you know, 100. Obviously, I think they're going to get a lot of recreational money and maybe some smart money as well. But the one thing I would say, this is the type of bet that I want to wait on. I'll file this away. I'll look mm-hmm. at these numbers. But to me, the one thing is we don't know how these rosters will stack out. And we also want to be conscious of the fact that futures are great and you can really cash some good futures and pad your bankroll. But you also got to remember, you got to have the liquidity to withstand a very long period of time where you're not going to see this money. You have to be able to put this money away and have it, and like have it not hurt you when you're trying to bet on NFL this weekend and college football. So have the liquidity to bet futures. Remember, limits are kind of low at this point. Yeah, you can pick off a great number, but to me, this is more of a wait and see, and let's see how these lines move and what player transactions will take place.
Right. I think a very fluid situation, Josh, because you think about the CBA, a rapidly approaching revenue decreasing this year in Major League Baseball, too, and then what kind of season are you going to have next year, even on top of the rosters and the movement that you're going to see out there, too. So maybe keep that bankroll over to the side here and just keep an eye on the numbers for sure, though, courtesy of BetMGM. Let's get to the National Football League. Six teams hit the road as favorites this week. Road favorites are hitting about 50% this season against the spread. Josh, some interesting matchups here. Colts at Lions and Titans at the Bengals. Your thoughts on a few of these games?
Yeah, so Pritch, this is going to be a great show today. I think we should just fly through every single game here today. We got some time to kill. But yeah, you know, remember these trends here when we're talking about teams coming off a bye, we're in the thick of it right now. You got a lot of teams off a bye each week or coming back from a bye. So that's something that you want to take into your handicapping. And remember that, you know, road teams, home teams, off a bye, favorites, dogs, it's not all created equal. Really, to me, the best trend off a bye that I really like is a road favorite off a bye. But I also think you got to take a little, you know, current situation into account when you're betting these spots just in general. So, for example, the Colts and the Lions, you know, you look at this game here. Public is slightly on the Colts. They're getting a little more than half the tickets. The Colts opened around -3. And even though they have a slight majority of tickets, this line has either stayed three with the juice actually trending to Detroit. So Detroit +3, -115, or we're seeing some books actually fall to 2.5. So what I'm getting at here is even though the Colts would kind of match that road favorite off a bye system, which has done well historically, it's about 57%, I would say, last decade. To me, the market and the sharps, they know that. They know that trend and they know a million others. And it seems to me, I actually see some value here on Detroit +3. They're a home dog. The liability has always been toward Detroit. It's not like this line moved to 3.5 or 4. And again, these key numbers are really, really crucial. The fact that we're seeing this three be juiced up toward the Lions tells me if you like Detroit, you may want to grab them sooner rather than later, because it looks like it may fall to 2.5. So again, I want a trend that's good historically in the past to also line up with the trends that we're seeing currently. And we have a bit of a discrepancy here because we have that good road favorite off a bye trend with Indy, yet the current market is telling me liability is Detroit. So in that regard, I kind of put a little more into this Detroit liability only because sharps know that trend and every other, and they seem to think Detroit +3 is more of the wise guy play at this point.
Yeah, the public following the news of the day too, Everson Griffin getting traded there. The Lions seemingly in bye mode. They've won two games. I mean, if you look at how they won these games, kind of something I don't know if you want to bet on or rely upon, but they got lucky a little bit there. So I think the public would look at it from that standpoint. But what you said stands out to me. You know, it's the books that know about these trends as well, right? And and for me, it's a constant reminder, don't try to pick the best team or the worst team and try to lay your bet down that way. What do the books know? And how are they applying the lines there and the numbers?
Exactly. And again, this goes back to your Kevin Cash type conversation, a little bit of a gut instinct here or based on where you're seeing value in terms of the numbers. Like, I'll give you a good example, Pritch. The Lions were in this situation a couple weeks ago. They were at the Jacksonville Jaguars. It was the same thing where they were -3 on the road. They were sort of a public play, but all the liability on the juice with the Lions that day was -3, -115, -120. Some books even went to -3.5. So I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, you don't have to be blindly playing these trends just because they've cashed in the past. Make sure that the current data is also lining up to it. And unlike that spot with Detroit at Jacksonville, where they were always juice on their side, flip it the other way. Indy's juice is all leaning toward Detroit. So that's kind of the discrepancy that I make. So Detroit is definitely one of these key number +3 plays that I have my eye on this weekend.
Absolutely. And then the Titans, Bengals, that line's sitting at -5.5 for the Titans on the road.
Yeah, Pritch, this is a huge move. This is one of the biggest moves of the week. I'd love to get your take on it because we've seen Tennessee open -4. Remember, they're coming off that loss to Pittsburgh, first loss of the year. Public is heavy on Tennessee, but it's also pretty sharp. You've seen this line go -4 all the way to -6 to the Titans. I think if you like the Titans, really you wanted a -5.5 or less. That's kind of the last sharp move that I've seen. Now that it's at 6, I'm actually seeing some books creep back down to 5.5 at this point. So key number here, it's getting juiced up. It seems to me where value-minded bettors are saying, okay, Bengals, don't like them getting 4, getting 5, but a key number of 6, that's when we're starting to see it fall back down. So maybe that's the point where value-minded bettors say it's a little too much there. So I think if you're liking Titans -5.5 or better, if you're leaning Bengals, the 6 is what you're looking at that point.
Yeah, it's really quick too. You see -6, but then like you said, chopping around -5 at some shops.
Yeah, coming back down, Preston. That's the key here. Yeah, you're seeing it. And again, have multiple outs, shop around. That's key. Have more opportunities to place a good bet.
Absolutely. Off and running here on Betting Across America. Coming up, double-digit spreads in Week 8. Week 8 of the National Football League, still double-digit spreads. And yes, they include bad teams. Do you bet against, or can Josh Applebaum find some value in these situations? That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. With college and pro football action every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID and open an account to start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. With state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week, you're going to love this app. VSiN is also reporting live from the Mandalay Bay every weekend. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. And Josh, Week 8, double-digit situations here with these teams, these spreads. It's incredible. I was looking at the standings, and really the leaders versus the people in the cellar. I mean, there's a distinct disadvantage or discrepancy there and quality, really, throughout the National Football League. So let's look at this situation. Jets at the Chiefs. They are -19.5. This spread, I want to know, can you find value with this, or is this a bet against?
Yeah, so to me, this is either layoff or go Jets. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but of course, Pritch, you know me, you know what I'm going to tell you here. This is the ultimate buy low, sell high. I mean, when you're a data-minded, value-driven bettor, this is the sort of thing you want to look at. So remember, we're not talking about who's going to win this game. Chiefs almost assuredly will win this game. However, you look at these numbers here. So right off the bat, look at the win-loss records. 0-7 Jets, 6-1 Chiefs. Chiefs, mm-hmm. Super Bowl defending champs. Jets awful this year. I also like buying low bad ATS, good ATS. You finally saw the Jets cover number last week. They were like +13 down to +9.5 against the Bills. Ended up losing by 8. Jets 1-6 ATS, Kansas City 5-2 ATS. So right off the bat, this is an automatic public play to the Chiefs. Lay the points, they'll win by 30 in this one. However, what we've seen across the market and a lot of trends that I look at generally, this is one of the biggest spreads you're ever going to see. You know, if you look at the last pretty much this century, the last 20 years or so, we've only had about 7 times where you have a dog of 20 points or more. And in those situations, the dogs getting the points are 6-1 ATS. So these numbers are so big. You know, remember, the odds makers are setting these numbers knowing that the public will want to immediately fade the Jets, immediately take the Chiefs. So you're kind of buying low, selling high just in that regard anyway, with a little bit of an inflated line. But Pritch, let's just look at what the market is doing at this point. Mm-hmm. This line opened with the Chiefs -21, 3 touchdown favorite. Even though the public is on KC, the line is now down to 19.5. So what does that tell you? You know, anytime you see this betting line move in the opposite direction of where the public is, that's telling you smart money came in. Grab the Jets, ideally 21. That's your key number there. Obviously, I think that would have been your best bet overall. But now that we're down to 19.5, to me, I would wait this one out. You already missed the key number with the Jets. I would wait to see if maybe this line ticks back up as we lead, you know, get closer to the weekend and the public says, man, give me KC all day to win by 30 or more. Maybe you start to see this. I'm seeing some juice, maybe trend back toward 20. But again, this would be a contrarian spot, a huge spread that typically has covered long term. And you have a lot of these buy low, sell high trends with the Jets. So, Pritch, I know it's disgusting, but can I take the Jets 19.5 and then have them lose by 19? I think there is some value there, believe it or not.
Sure, you can. I mean, I think as the league gets closer and closer to college football on the field, they are doing the same thing with ATS. I mean, you see double digit spreads and these kind of spreads all the time in college football. So it'll be interesting. We want to expand on this, certainly with the Buccaneers and the Giants, because that's another situation. That's Monday Night Football, minus 10.5 here for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Pritch. So, of course, I see Mookie Betts dropping bombs for the Dodgers. Now I got to watch Brady on Monday night, and I'm going to have to back the Giants. So this is just like as bad as it gets for me. But I am seeing value on the Giants here, Monday Night Football. So right off the bat, Giants are going to be a big spread play. They're also going to be a very contrarian play in a heavily bet spot here. Monday night is your most heavily bet game of the week. And right now you have the public just pounding, and I mean pounding the Bucks here. They're getting 2/3 of bets, if not more. Anytime you go contrarian, you want to look at these heavily bet, high ticket count games. But really, to me, Pritch, I'm seeing a little bit of a line freeze. I mean, you saw the Bucks open around minus 10. And even though they've been getting all this betting, they've gotten to 11, came back down. You had some buyback. It's now kind of evened out at 10.5. This isn't a situation like with the Tennessee Titans where they're going minus 4 to minus 6. You know, you've only seen really about a half point of a move toward the Bucks. Tells me books really don't want to give out a better number there to these Giants backers. Yeah. And we're talking about trends with double digits. Mm-hmm. Here's one that I like, Pritch. You look at double digit Monday Night Football dogs. Okay. Very rare, but they're covering about 70% of the time.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty strong right there. Only 6 teams better than the Jets right now with 1 win. So maybe we see more of these double digit spreads in the future. Up next, expert information. We're going to deliver that to you right now in terms of college football. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Sports Betting Network has great news for everyone. Starting right now, you can watch every VSiN show for free all week long on VSiN.com. Start with Follow the Money at 7 a.m. Eastern and get our entire 14 hours of live daily sports betting programs for free 24/7 on VSiN.com. Also, check out our 10-day free subscription trial to sample everything we have to offer, including the Daily Best Bets email and our Point Spread Weekly Betting Guide. Head to VSiN.com now to start watching for free. This is the perfect week to get more from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you. Expert information time, Josh. This is from VSiN.com. Get a subscription and you'll get this information. Outstanding with these trends in college football. Michigan State at Michigan. The trend, Michigan State is 1-8 ATS the last 3 years, avenging a loss. They're coming off that loss against Illinois.
Yes, looking at this spot here, and again, can't recommend Points for Weekly enough. We have a new edition out today. You can go to VSiN.com/subscribe. We got a 10-day free trial to see if you like it, and I'm pretty sure you will. But yeah, Pritch, looking at this game here, obviously a big matchup here, two teams for Michigan. Number 13, Michigan, they are coming off a 49-24 win. They covered the minus 3 against Minnesota, whereas Michigan State lost to Rutgers, even though Rutgers came through for the sharps there in that one, 38-27, even though Michigan State was about a 10-point favorite in that one. But what I'm seeing for this game here, Pritch, you know, my natural reaction is to look at Michigan State in the points. I know that trend doesn't really go toward that. It's been kind of a line freeze. It's around 24.5. It actually tipped at 25 at one point and came back down a little bit. So Michigan State would have a little value in terms of a bit of a contrarian play, unranked versus ranked, with a line move in their favor. But if you're worried about that trend, what I would look toward, Pritch, is the under in this game. This total opened around 55, 54 and a half ish. It's down to 53. One thing to look out for, and really for all games this weekend, Pritch, is weather. We got a bunch of storms coming through. And really what we're looking at here is, it'll be probably most likely clear, no precipitation, but could have about 10 to 15 mile an hour winds, and that could play a factor one. So we've seen that total fall. We have this system here with the wind, and then also you have these conference matchups where the total falls in general have been profitable historically. But, Pritch, what's your take on this spot? Any reason to like Michigan State in the points, any lean on the total, or do you think the Wolverines just roll in this one?
Well, in years past, I would look at the points serious consideration right there. I played with Andre Risen out there in Atlanta, and he's from Michigan State. He played at Michigan State, and he used to tell me about the athletes that they would recruit back then and certainly obtain for the program. But it's been far and few between in terms of those type of athletes, right, for Michigan State. And now they got Mel Tucker, a new coach, no offseason. I think Michigan with their quarterback, I'm excited about this young man, Joe Milton. I think he's a pro prospect. I think he'll jump on a lot of people's radar coming up here. So maybe put the game on his shoulders a little bit. Certainly they want to run the football. That line, though, I'm still a little nervous for me to look at that number and lay that many points.
No, I'm with you, Pritch. And also, anytime you're betting any of these, you know, conference games, we do know these road conference dogs, unranked, first ranked teams have value. But also, compare the spread to what the total is. I mean, you're looking at a 25-point spread. You're looking at a total of 53.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of game theory type outcome would you need? Basically, what I'm getting at is that low spread or that big spread with the low total does benefit the dog in this situation, unless you think Michigan State is really not going to score any points in this one. So that's definitely something to keep an eye out looking forward. Pritch, one that I wanted to throw at you, if you get a chance here, K-State and West Virginia. So this one is really intriguing to me. You know, we have the public hammering Kansas State. This is a noon game on Saturday, one of your most heavily bet spots of the day. K-State ranked, West Virginia unranked. But I'm seeing here, even though the public is all over K-State, West Virginia open around -3.5. They've either stayed the same or crept up a little bit to 4. So if you remember a while back, Oklahoma and Texas, that was an unranked Oklahoma favorite against a ranked team Texas. Same sort of thing here. I like these situations where you have an unranked team who opens as a favorite and the line either stays in their direction or moves further in their direction. But any thoughts on that? K-State, West Virginia, it probably looks like K-State at the outset, but I'm seeing some liability there on the Mountaineers.
You know, the Mountaineers, they did a great job of recruiting, I would say about 10, 12, 15 years ago, really going into the state of Florida and getting some of those South Florida athletes to get up there. And they had a tremendous program at one point, kind of inconsistent within the Big 12. K-State is K-State. We used to beat up on K-State, but they're different now. Some of their recruiting has stepped up and been improved. I see why this line is tighter here. But K-State is on the road. West Virginia, that's a tough travel spot. You normally have to fly into Pittsburgh, I believe, and then make that drive out there. So it depends on how K-State travels to maybe some information right there, Josh, that can be helpful.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you look at just the outset, you know, K-State's won 4 in a row. West Virginia is coming off a loss, 34-27 to Texas Tech. But really, just look at the board we're showing you at VSiN right now. Ask yourself this: if K-State's ranked 16th and they have a better record, why is West Virginia the favorite in this game?
Yeah.
Unranked, worst record. So to me, that always sends alarm bells, and I always look for games. You only get a couple of these. You may only get one or two every weekend, but that's the sort of thing that raises an alarm. And to me, it's not like it was -3.5 West Virginia, and now it's down to 3 or down to 2.5. It stayed the same, even though public on K-State, it may even go to 4. To me, West Virginia is a fade the trendy dog contrarian favorite opportunity that I have my eye on this Saturday.
Sure. My experience, I mean, that is a tough travel for K-State. So I'm curious. So I'm going to look that up. I'm trying to do some research right there to find out how they're going to travel out there to play West Virginia. Moving along, Notre Dame, this trend is 19-3 ATS, the last 22 games on the road in October. How about that one?
Yeah, no, that's crazy. Looking at this spot here. So yeah, you look at Notre Dame, 19-3 ATS on the road in October. They've really rolled and covered a lot of these numbers. Can't really blame them in this spot here. You know, it worries me only a little bit that it's a bit of a public play here, but going to Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, they open around -19. They're up to around -20. So the line is moving. And again, you know, we got to remember really it's respected money moving numbers. It's not public money. So I think the public looks at this and they just say Notre Dame all day, top five team, Georgia Tech unranked, obviously a much better record overall, 5-0 against 2-4. So at this point, you know, I see a little bit of not just public, but a little smart money moving this number. My question now is, does it get to 20.5? Does it get to 21? I guarantee you, if it gets to 21, you'll have some buyback on Georgia Tech. Maybe it doesn't get there. But that's another one where maybe you have an under opportunity. We're showing 57.5, but I have seen some books get closer to around 56.5. You also have a little bit of wind in that one as well. So unders in general to me are intriguing just because you have a big bias toward over. So always look at the total. If you're dying about a game and don't have a good reason, lay off. Mm-hmm. But you can always remember, you know, total opportunities are there for you if you don't see anything on a spread.
Yeah, definitely, you're going to keep totals in mind looking at those games in college football as Notre Dame's trying to get it done against that ACC conference right there in football. Up next, some more top-notch information. Teams coming off a bye in Week 8. We will discuss that next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. BetMGM Sports has a special offer for VSiN listeners. New customers can get the first deposit matched instantly up to $250 in free bets with bonus code VSiN250. Discover why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks with parlay bonus payouts, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and use bonus code VSiN250 to get your first deposit matched up to $250 in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old, located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you. And Josh, when you're looking at some more games in the National Football League, teams coming off of byes, a lot of interest in the Dolphins versus Rams game. Rams off a short week traveling across country. Tua will be playing and starting at quarterback for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, Pritch, can't wait to get your scouting report here on Tua. But what I'm seeing here, again, remember, teams coming off a bye, the bigger edge here is to favorites, especially road favorites. But with that being said, I'm seeing the market kind of in agreement here, and we just saw the late move here to the Miami Dolphins. So if you look at this spot here, this is like a mega rest first tired system, because you have Miami not only off a bye, but you also have the Rams on a short week. So you add that in, and that's a big advantage there to Miami. As you mentioned yesterday, Pritch, you know, they did have the extra week to kind of change everything right to left with Tua offensively as a passer. But what I'm seeing here, Pritch, is that the public is going Rams. They saw the Rams on primetime absolutely roll and steam over Chicago there. And remember, I always like, you know, what happened in a primetime game. That's going to really influence public perception, recency bias, the next game. But right here, we just saw this happen. You had the Rams open as a -3.5 favorite on the road. And kind of early on, you saw some money on the Rams push them all the way up to -4.5. But it looks like pros just made their move on the Miami Dolphins, because in the last 5-10 minutes or so, we've seen the Dolphins fall from +4.5 down to +3.5. So even though the majority of bets are on the Rams, this line is dropping to Miami. It seems like probably you know, wise guys had that number in their head. They're saying, let the public move that number. We'll pounce on the 4.5, the 4, once it gets a little bit inflated there. We're starting to see this contrarian opportunity. Line coming back to Miami tells me Miami's getting some smart money here. But Pritch, I guess the question is, do you have faith in Tua? A rookie quarterback making his debut, going up against Aaron Donald in that defense. That's a little scary, but it looks like wise guy money has a little bit of confidence in Tua here.
You know, I kind of do. He was amazing in college. And then he had the injury, and everybody was devastated to see that, because he's a tremendous young man. But to battle back and now to be named the starter so soon, He must be lights out in practice. He must be instilling confidence in not only the coaching staff, but the front office and the players out there. For Miami Dolphins to completely change what they're doing, they're 3-3, have a chance within that division. To completely change what they're doing right now speaks volumes about what they think about Tua. So, yeah, is he going to have some hiccups? Is he going to have a slow start? Is he going to have a poor game here or there? Probably, because he's a rookie. But yet, the upside, I mean, I think if you want to start the clock right now on Tua, you do it. And that means that this guy has a chance to be special. Now, he's going up against a Rams team that, to me, is a tough spot from a scheduling standpoint. You play on a short week, you got to go all the way across country. You lose time zones as well right there, too. So that's a tough traveling spot right there for the Rams.
No, you're totally right, Pritch, and that's a good point there, because that's a 1 o'clock game, so that would kind of fit the tried and true, you know, West Coast team going east early game. I mean, it's funny, like, could the NFL have set up that matchup any worse for the Rams? You know, going again, like,
it's a setup, it's Josh. It is. I'm telling you,
it is. Hey, no, it makes me like Miami even more in that one, Pritch. Mm-hmm. The other one that I want to throw your way is what's going to be the most heavily bet game of the Sunday slate here, Pittsburgh and Miami. Two great teams here going head to head. Extremely heavily bet spot here. 1 o'clock game. I saw a stat that since 1999, these teams are almost exactly even win loss record and even points scored. That's how close this rivalry has been, really over the last two decades or so. What I'm seeing here is it seems like you have pros and Joes both early on Pittsburgh, because we saw Baltimore open as a -5.5 favorite. Remember, Baltimore is coming off a bye. Favorites off a bye do well, even though the road favorite off a bye does better than the home favorite off the bye. But that 5.5 quickly got scooped up. Respected money hit Steelers +5.5, +5, 4.5, 4. The line is now down to 3.5. And we're starting to see a little bit of buyback on the Ravens. It's still 3.5 here, but a lot of this juice is -3.5, -115, -120. Some books are going back toward 4. So I think if you're digging the Steelers here, and I like the Steelers, they worry me a little bit because they're a bit of a public play, and you're losing a little bit of value because the line has moved so much. But the Steelers match road division dog, short road dog, COVID road dog with a line move. Those systems have been really, you know, killer this year so far. But with the Baltimore Ravens, I think if you like them, the 3.5 is going to be your best number, because this may go back up a little bit, laying the points here. But Pritch, what do you think? Are we looking at another 3-point game here? What's your take here? Who has the advantage? Would you be leaning on grabbing the points or laying them in this big showdown?
3.5. It scares me to lay a little bit. Maybe I'd wait for 3 if I could get it. But the Ravens, I think they're prime though, Josh. Here's a team that faced Kansas City earlier in the year and got destroyed. I know Harbaugh is going to use that as they prepared for 2 weeks against the Steelers. Another chance. I mean, the AFC, if you look at the division, if you look at seeding, if you look at how that conference is playing out right now, if you're the Ravens, you got to go back to being 14-2. I mean, you have to go back to that mindset. So I think the Ravens will be geared up for this one at home against the Steelers. The Steelers undefeated at this point, too, and some pretty strong trends. I mean, if you favor the Ravens here, 10-2 ATS in the last 12 games against the AFC. The Ravens are 5-0 ATS in the last 5 games against the AFC North, albeit without Big Ben last year, certainly with the injury. And the Ravens are 5-0 ATS in the last 5 games in November. So I think that's indicative of a team that plays well when they have to.
I agree with you, Pritch, here. And the other thing that caught my eye with this game is the total, because a lot of these games, you know, if I just ask you, Pritch, what's a common score Ravens Baltimore? 20-17, 23-20. Usually it's these lower scoring grudge match, grinded out type games that we're accustomed to in this rivalry. And that's what it looks like pros are leaning on here, because this line opened, the total opened around 49-ish, 48.5, kind of a high total. And yet it's been dropping, and it's all the way down to 46.5 at this point. So you're seeing, even though the public is all hitting the over, this line is falling. This is another weather type game to keep an eye out for. If you're betting NFL this weekend, if you're betting any totals, look at the weather. Every game is windy this week because of that Hurricane Zeta coming in. But it's about 10 to 15 miles an hour of wind. You also have Brad Allen, pretty good historical under ref here, about 54% to the under. So it's just notable to me that you think it's going to be high scoring Lamar Jackson, Big Ben, all his wide receivers. Maybe we're in for a grinded out game, and that's why you're seeing this this line move closer to the under.
From a market insight standpoint, are we locked at 3.5, you think, or does that have a chance to change?
I think if anything, it goes probably back to four, okay, just the way it's trending. And you got to remember, it opened 5.5. It's already moved 2 full points. And again, look at the juice on these 3.5s. They're all juiced up -3.5, -115 to the Ravens. So it tells me, you know, the books are making you pay a higher price to bet Baltimore. Mm. I think probably just from a value standpoint, they're 2 points off the opener. But I am seeing some books go to four. So the importance of going to VSiN.com/odds, looking at your live odds page, that's really, really important here. But Pritch, I would love to get a three as well with the Ravens, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I have a teaser card in my back pocket, though, Josh. Vikings at the Packers. The Vikings made use of their bye week by getting rid of a good player, traded Ngakoue away. So I mean, this game against the Packers are rolling a little bit to get Devontae Adams back. The line sitting at -6.5 for Green Bay.
Yeah, this one is very intriguing to me. And again, Aaron Rodgers is making me look really stupid on a lot of plays this year. But I think the Vikings have value here. Call me crazy. I mean, you look at the Packers, they're 5-1. They're going up against Minnesota 1-5. You know, this is going to be one of the biggest liability plays for the sports books this week. You're going to have so many people probably tease down the Packers -6.5 down to -0.5 point. But for this game here, you got to remember this line actually opened at Packers -7. And this is one of the most lopsided games of the week, where if the Packers roll in this one, books are going to take a massive hit. So if you like to bet against the public, if you like to follow sharp line moves, even though everyone's betting Green Bay, this line did fall 7 down to 6.5. It does look like, though, it may go back to 7, at which case it would become more of a line freeze than it would a reverse line move. But if you're liking the Packers, you know, 6.5 is probably going to be your best number. If you're digging Minnesota, wait for a 7, get that key number there. But Minnesota would match road division dog. Built-in familiarity. They are rested off a bye. So, you know, if it's Minnesota 7, to me, that would be the value play. But again, Aaron Rodgers, he loves to crush value plays, Pritch.
Yeah, he's been amazing this year, Josh. I think he's on a mission. We saw that early on, even with the injury to Devontae Adams and others. Rodgers' ego bruised a little bit against Tampa Bay, comes back against Deshaun Watson and plays great football. So I think we'll start to see that in a consistent way from Aaron Rodgers.
Totally agree with you. Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers has been great. He's at the top of the MVP conversation here. He's getting a lot of his weapons back, too, especially with Adams. You see the numbers he puts up. Pritch, I know we got to go to break here soon, but I did want to mention Atlanta-Carolina, that Thursday night game.
That's right.
We were talking about how Carolina open -3. Public is all over Carolina. You do have that trend to Thursday night home teams that do well. Mm-hmm. However, I'm seeing a lot of these books, the -2.5, trending a little more down to 2. I don't know if we get there, but it's intriguing to me. I thought, if anything, this line will go back to 3. Looks like books may even have continued liability on the Falcons as a short road dog play. So I know you're not too confident in your former team there, Pritch, but they seem to be a liability play for tomorrow.
Yeah, some weather coming in to Carolina, and then maybe news that Christian McCaffrey might be available too. Maybe drawing that line there, but interesting. Maybe not, you know, because of the weather. You know, with that ankle, you don't want to risk anything and save him up for the following week. I think they have Kansas City, so just keeping an eye on that news and those developments for that game. But yeah, I still don't trust the Falcons right now. I really don't. So much going on, and so much you're hearing about that team, too. So I just don't trust them. Up next in hour number two, Pete Futek from College Football News joins the program to help us talk about college football. That's coming up next.